door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
expresses wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us in a unique way once again, in the name of Jesus. Speak to us in a special way once again, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I can't hear your amen. 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 On Sunday, we delved into a very important subject called Awake, a cry for personal revival. Can you just shout with a loud voice, Awake! I hope you are blessed by that sermon. If you were not blessed, then we need to investigate you. I'm serious. We need to investigate you seriously. I know I'm the one that preached, but listening to it again, I just felt the things that were said in that sermon were too important not to be repeated. Are you with me? Please, are you with me? And if you have not listened to it, or you're not around on Sunday, please go back, watch, listen to it carefully. On Sunday, we touched the subject of spiritual slumber, and we began to give signs that a person might be sleeping spiritually. What are the signs that a person might be sleeping spiritually? Please, go back and watch that. And in fact, I've been saying it every sermon excerpt we put out, share it. Let me tell you why I feel that way, or I'm telling us to share it. From what I'm discovering, the more I listen to the sermon, the more I discover that there are more people sleeping than awake. Did you hear what I just said? There are more people asleep than awake. And the thing about this thing is, if you don't intentionally hear things like this that will shake you up from your mood, you will remain that way, because human beings are victims of pattern. You will remain that way, and you can remain that way for years. For years, you can remain that way. Please, are you with me? You know the Newton's first law of motion. Everything will remain in a state of rest or perpetual motion unless acted upon by a force. Listen, nothing changes with time. It will not change with time. Are you with me? So as I began to listen to these things, I was like, ha! If these things that this pastor is saying, which I am, is true. No, people have to hear it. Okay, let me go through the signs of sleep, those who are sleeping spiritually. Little or no restraint towards sin. Number two, spiritual incoherence. And then we explained from 2 Timothy 2, from verse 24 to 26, that these are people that oppose themselves. They are people that, when you study their life patterns and the choices they make, you cannot see coherence. They choose to go this way and then they go this way. Are you with me? Don't you know people like that? In fact, if we do a real thorough scan, some of us are inside there. Then we talked about spiritual staleness, meaning it's been long they got a major direction from God about their life. It's been long that God showed them this is what you should be doing. I'm telling you. Then we talked about reduced potential. They have a potential of 100, but what they are producing is 20 consistently over a long time. But thank God we looked at all these things from scripture. And then we said another sign of spiritual slumber is a deep distraction and restlessness. You are consistently distracted. This is June. This is the middle of the year. There are people who have never been able to pray every day from Monday to Sunday. Is it not true? They are consistently distracted, consistently restless. They don't have any kind of structure in their life whatsoever. I want to ask you, is this serious? It is. It is. And then, number six, a dead devotional life. And then we spoke about the fact that the cure to spiritual slumber is a personal revival. Can you see after me? The cure, the solution, the answer to spiritual slumber is a personal revival. Say after me, personal revival. That's why that Sunday sermon was called Awake! A cry for personal revival. A cry for personal revival. Ephesians 5 verse 14 says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And I explained on Sunday that it's possible for you to wake up and sleep back. It has happened to many of us before. Where you were sleeping, you woke up and then rain started falling. Ah, like this morning rain. Hey, Jesus. If you're not careful, you will sleep back. But you woke up, or you remembered, you woke up, you saw the time, 4 o'clock, 4 a.m. Lord, I will just sleep for 30 minutes. And then from 4:30 to 6:30, I'll be praying. And by the time you closed and opened your eyes, it was 2:07. You can relate, right? You woke up, but you did not arise. So that means, even though we talk about awake and everything we spoke about on Sunday, it is possible for a person to wake up and sleep back. So there must be a structure to keep you awake. Are you with me? And that's the reason for this service. Staying awake. Staying awake. Because while God may want us to sleep in the natural and balance our health and our sleep cycles and all of that, in the spirit, you are not permitted to sleep. In the spirit, you are not permitted to sleep at all. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we read. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 from verse 5. It says, ye are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, be drunk in the night. Obviously, he's not talking about literal sleep here. Are you with me? It is figurative or metaphorical of something deeper. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Okay, let us who are of the day. So he's saying that those who are in Christ are of the day, and those who are not in Christ are of the night. And so they that are of the night are sleeping. They will be in perpetual spiritual slumber. Are you getting me? But those who are of the day, they will be awake. So he's saying that we who are in Christ, we are perpetually of the day, and so we are perpetually awake. Are you getting it? Praise the Lord. He says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Amen. So, staying awake. So, after a man becomes awake, how do you stay awake? Because there is a tendency to fall into spiritual slumber again. And even if you don't agree with what I just said, just take a scan of your life. If you've been born again for more than 5 years, you can remember times in your walk with God where you were more awake than others. Are you with me? You can just remember. Okay, some people, when I was in school, when I was fellowship secretary, when something, they can remember times in their walk with God where you were more awake. I'm not saying you slept though, but you can remember the times where you were more awake than others. Some of you, when you came into New Breed, you became more awake. You can relate, right? Mm-hmm. So what are the things you will put in place to be perpetually awake? Like the sermon title, if you put technical, Nexus, you can put that poster on the screen. Personal revival structures. That's what we called it. Staying awake. Personal revival structures. Can you say after me? I will stay awake. I will set up personal revival structures. You know, one of the things you will find out eventually about revival is revival. What we call revival is simply normal Christianity. What we call revival is normal Christianity. We're having a program in Lagos on the 8th of August, a major conference. We are calling it Awake, the birth of revival. One of the things I'm going to explain there is how revival happens. It is the accumulation of normal Christians exploding in a generation that brings forth revival. Praise the Lord. And the reason it's so is because the way standards are, if you don't set up a structure to keep a standard, if somebody is not upholding a standard, it will fall. For instance, these lights or these stage lights that are here, if there is no structure to keep it up, even if all of us hold it, we can't hold it like that on our own forever. There has to be a structure to ensure that this thing is perpetually up there. Are you with me? In the same way, that's how revival is. There has to be standards. There has to be structures to keep it there. If not, everything will come down again. Praise the Lord. And even in history, it's obvious in history. Do you know that there was a time in history, after all the things that God did from the time of Jesus with the early apostles and the early church, there was a time in this world where there was almost nobody speaking in tongues. Yes. There was a time in this world where there was no Bible in terms of the way we have it now. The Bible was kept as a sacred preserve for only the priests and the control of the papal authority. That's the papacy, the Catholic Church. There was a time in history where if you wanted your sins to be forgiven, you will gather money, you will go and meet the priest, you will pay for forgiveness of sins. Yes. You will do penance. Are you with me? There was a time it was called the Dark Ages. Praise the Lord. You know, one of the reasons why we are going to stretch ourselves to enter the things God has said is our children, if they don't see revival, they will not even know the standards to be upheld. Did you hear what I just said? If our children, one of the reasons why we can even be striving for revival is because my generation, or what we can say, the millennials, people that were born between 1990 and 1996, that generation, they were one of the last young generations to see what an intense move of God looked like in this country. What we are seeing today, for instance, a typical Gen Z, somebody who was born between 2004, 2005, 2006, may not have known the kind of crusades, the miracle crusades that Bishop Idahosa, Pastor Chris was doing. Who remembers Atmosphere for Miracles? My God. Jesus. Hey, God. Hey. There was a crusade of Idahosa had in Liberty Stadium, Ibadan. Till today, they are talking about that crusade. How much fire had been raised up in that generation that 9 hours to the crusade, cripples were already walking. Crusade has not started. Like, people had gathered in the stadium. They are not already singing, no praise and worship, nothing. Just people have gathered in the stadium. They were carrying people on wheelchairs, carrying all kinds of things. Archbishop never showed. Miracles were already happening. Bishop Edipo said that was the crusade he watched and started crying to God. God, use me, I beg. God, use me. And Archbishop Peter, that was how we tell you that it was T.L. Osborne's crusades that he was watching, that he started crying to God, use me. So you see what how this thing works? It is what the Bible says, one generation shall tell of your goodness to another. So if another generation rises, this our children are being given birth to 2020, 2021, 2022. If they grow up and they don't meet revival, it will die. Are you with me? If they grow up and they don't meet the supernatural, how did I started learning how to cast out devils before I casted one? I used to watch in church. I was sharing with you during the stretch prayers now. There were things I saw. My God. You can't tell me there was no God now. Eh? The church I grew up in, they don't used to close church. Church used to be open 24 hours. Monday to Sunday. You will come to church, you will see a space, mad people that were healed, all kinds of things. Sometimes you will come to church, you are coming to preparing for service, just praying for service. Pray. You will just see some men and prayer band say, "Hold that, lady. The mad spirit is trying to take her to the road." And when nobody can hold her, you will just see somebody say, "Take it in Jesus' name." She will fall under the power. From there. So by the time I got born again, I began to burn. I started casting out devils like that because I saw it. Are you with me? Part of the reasons why people are asking, is there God? All this conversation we are having about atheism is telling you something. There is a way revival has not spread yet. Are you with me? Those conversations were not even had in our parents' days. You're asking if there's God. No problem. You will shun shi shun shi. Then you will know there is God. They didn't have those conversations. Those questions, they were not having it. Are you with me? And me, I know. You see, Newbury Christian Community, God has raised us up for such a time as this. And we will fulfill our destiny. Amen. You know, many times what God allows you to grow up to witness is a picture of your future. It's a picture of your future. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, what are the structures that we must put in place for personal revival? Number one, priority. If you are writing, write priority. See, you must see the priority of being spiritually awake. You must see it. If you don't see it, you will not give it the attention it deserves. You will not give it the attention it deserves. That's why on Sunday, I took my time to really flesh out that sermon. You must see the attention it deserves. You must see the priority of being spiritually awake. Matthew 13 says, "While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tares." While men slept. While men slept. You must see the priority. Luke 10 from verse 41 to 42. We talked about it in morning devotion today. And Jesus answered and said unto her, that is Martha, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You are bothered about many things. Verse 42. "But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, you know the context of this story. Jesus went to visit Mary and Martha, and Martha was so bent on giving Jesus food, and she was, which is important, but and she was so cumbered about with much serving, and at a point she was angry that Jesus was preaching to Mary. Mary was listening to sermon instead of coming to the kitchen to work. Martha came and said, "See, Jesus, Tell this lady to come and work with me now. You just left me only to be cutting tomatoes, cutting onions, No, tell her to come. She now said, God told her, you are bothered about too many things. You are bothered about too many things. But one thing is needful. I told myself, my life will not be used to prove that scripture true in the wrong way. Because you can be bothered about too many things. You can be bothered, what does that person think about me? Look at this person looking at me. I've not done like this. I've not gone to school. I've not. Let me tell you, one thing is needful. If you get this one thing right, every other thing will align. Every other thing will align. I'm telling you. Pastor, what do you mean? I wish I can tell you my life story. See, my future, my life came out from this thing. This thing. One thing is needful. I remember. Hey, God. I remember as a young man, when I share this story, people don't believe me. When I finished from secondary school, there was no plan to go to university. Not because my parents did not want me. It was very, very well. You understand that statement, right? It was well. But by that time, as at that time, I had encountered the 1 year I stayed at home. If I tell you what I was doing, I will wake up in the morning. Sometimes I miss those days. I will wake up in the morning by 8 a.m. I have prayed. I have dressed up, shirt, trousers, talking. I will go to the church. I will pick tracts. Go and do evangelism. I will evangelize from that 8 till like 12, 1, 2. I will close. Go back, submit the names to the church, and go for WAEC and JAMB lessons. I was doing it every day. When I finished from those, that's why I can jam lessons. I will now go and do private lessons for children to gather money for myself. Personally, I was doing that for 1 year. And then in the night, rakata kapalakata zaka. I was doing that for 1 full year. One of those days, when doing that, I ran into someone who I and his son were childhood friends. Are you with me? They were childhood friends. He asked me, what are you doing? Are you not done with secondary school? Don't you want to go to university? I said, I want, but it is well. He said, come to my house. So I went to his house. He said, have you written JAMB? I said, I wrote JAMB this year, but I can't go. He said, you know what you will do? Go and call your mother. I went to call my mom. Funny enough, it was June. June 19th. I cannot forget. June 19th, 2009. I'm telling you. June 19th, 2009. He asked me, he said, have you heard of a school called Covenant? I said, yes. I said, well, that school is not for people like me. I'm telling you what I told him. I said, sir, it's not. He now said, do you think I can train you? I said, sir, I don't know. You know that thing they ask Ezekiel, can you raise his bones? Ezekiel said, God, thou knowest. I said, sir, I don't know. He said, I will train you. For the very first time, somebody gave me money. He said, go and enter a plane. You are taking first flight tomorrow. I cannot forget. Arik. You are taking first flight. Is it Arik or Virgin Atlantic? Who knows Virgin Atlantic? He said, they booked flight for me. I went. You needed to see me entering that school with my Ghana must go like this. I was like, you know, I was Sophia in London. I was walking like this. Like, my God. I and my mother. My mother was carrying me. Yeah. I didn't believe that that kind of place existed in Nigeria. Eh? By the time we went everywhere, they said, we can't give you, you did not choose us in your JAMB. You can't. So you will stay 1 more year. I stayed back and continued my routine. So I wrote JAMB again. Continued my routine of prayer, evangelism, preaching the word. Eventually, I come to, see what I'm telling you, I approved it. One thing is, sometimes I miss those days. You know why I miss those days? Those days, I was nobody's mentor. I was a mentor to my classmates, but as at that time, we had finished from my SS3 classmates, everybody had gone, I was nowhere. I will wake up some days, do you know what it means to read the entire New Testament 2 to 3 times, back to back? 100 chapters a day. Now, my wife is here. My phone, if I put on my phone like this, sometimes 3 calls used to jam. Somebody's calling me. I'm trying to pick that call. And now 2 calls are coming. Sometimes people message me and say, Pastor, you didn't plan my message. I say, yeah. You don't understand. Well, it is the result of the spiritual investment. You get what I'm trying to say? If there's nothing to, there's nothing from you, nobody will be calling you, Abby. Sometimes my phone. Now, sometimes I wish I can just run away. Run back to that era and stay with God the way I used. Priority. Say after me, priority. Take God. Give God his priority. Imagine you were God. Just imagine you were God and you are trying to get somebody's attention. You know that you have the power to change a man's life like this. It was that period that made me know. God does not need to take time to change your life. It's will you give him priority? He can do it like this. Bah. And that was how. That was how overnight my life changed. Are you with me? Priority. Psalm 27 verse 4. David speaking. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord that I would seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. One thing that have I desired. One thing. Maybe that's why I wrote that song. There is one thing. One thing I know. If I listen to your voice, I will never be lost. I've learned as a spiritual principle. When I get to a point in my life where it seems like maybe I'm confused, nobody to help me, I've missed my way, or I will cry to God, I will pray. There were prayers. If you saw me praying, you know how, see how short I am. You can imagine how I was in 2009 when you saw me praying in the night. I was far shorter. When I would pray like this, there were prayers I used to pray. Who knows our daily bread, that devotional? Our daily manna. What's this man's name? I'm trying to remember the Dr. Chris something. No. Something quap. The point is, there used to be a prayer bulletin at the back. War against Haman. War against. I will pray. I used to pray sometimes all night. I will lay hands on my head and be praying. Oh God, my destiny must open up. I receive direction. I receive inspiration. I will not be blinded in life. I will not be distracted. In the name of Jesus. Have you prayed? You knelt down before like this. Open your leg and you're praying and crying. Jesus. No, I was awake. You can't tell me I was not awake. There was a time I prayed so much, a woman called me in church. I cannot forget her, Mrs. Ufot. She called me. He said, how old are you? I said, ma, I'm 14. He said, you are not acting like a 14-year-old. You are too serious for your age. She said, you are a child. Play. Like, be a child. She told me, you are a child. Be a child. Like, play like your mates. Be a happy child like your mates. She gave me money, said, take, go and buy food and eat. Go, because what are you praying like? What's the issue? Now I know that it was not just about me then. Look at all of you. You know, I needed to have the kind of spiritual stature to do the things I'm doing. Are you with me? Now I get it. The prayer I was praying then was not just for me personally. It was to build my spirit for the kind of destiny. You see, when you are building a bungalow, there is a way the foundation will be. When you are building a 13-story building, you can't use the same foundation for a bungalow. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Priority. Number two, spiritual vigilance. So you must be alert. To be vigilant is to be alert. You must be alert enough to know when you are beginning to sleep off. You must be able to say, I'm not supposed to be here. You must be alert to be able to realize that something is not right. Something is not right. Look at Revelation chapter 3 from verse 1 to 2. Revelation 3 from verse 1 to 2. You know, yesterday, after the service, it was a powerful service on Sunday. After everything, I was thanking God for the service. And then, I felt that the Lord told me, son, we have not started. I said, God, what are you saying? He said, everything you have done in ministry for the past 7 years is still preparation. I said, we have not started. Keep cooking. I said, yes, sir. Revelation 3 from verse 1. It says, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Everybody read on with me. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. See, how do you feel when Jesus looks at a church? You know that thing was to a church. Oh. He says, I know you. I know your works. No matter what we want to put on as a front, God knows us. He knows what our prayer life looks like. He knows where our passion for him looks like. He knows. Are you with me? He knows the kind of comfort we will get and we will off our spiritual life. We will just pack. Are you with me? He says, I know thy works. And now this is the church in Sardis, to the church in Sardis, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. So everybody looks at you, or everybody looks at that church and says they are vibrant. But God, Jesus is saying, you are a church, but you are dead. Wow. Wow. Verse 2, that's where my emphasis is. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. So he's saying, become vigilant. Now, that means these guys were not watchful. He's telling them, be watchful, be vigilant. You should be able to say, no. When last on my own did I pray for 1 hour? When last did I pray for 1 hour? When last did I read one book of the Bible completely? When last? Are you with me? Watch. Watch. Tell your neighbor, watch. Tell your neighbor, be vigilant. So how do you set up spiritual revival, personal revival structures? Number one, priority. Number two, spiritual vigilance. Watch. You see, all the things we talked about, little or no restraint to sin, all of a sudden you are beginning to get funny ideas. Inventions of sins are beginning to rise up in your heart. That's a sign. When you are you Christian, believe the way they speak in tongues, you are now planning. You are beginning to plan how you will scam that person. You are beginning to plan how you will corner that girl, how you will corner that boy. You are beginning to Then you know that you should be able to say, hey, where is this thing coming from? And it's not because you are the worst of sinners. Oh, Satan will be said, he sends it to everybody. Yes, Satan sends all those things to everybody and see what will happen. He will come to Jesus and say, Jesus, if you run him now, if he turns stones to bread, Jesus, you can. And the Bible says after Jesus resisted him, he left, Satan left him for a while. Just for a season. Vigilance. Are you with me? You remember in Matthew 26 from verse 41, Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray. Watch. Watch. I feel like this service is not a, let me do quick and finish this preaching. Let's pray. It's not a talking service too much. Watch. Watch and pray, lest ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. My God. That takes me to the next thing. Review your devotional routine. Remember, we just said watch and pray, right? Review your devotional routine. So, your routine is means like, what is your life pattern like? What is your devotional pattern like? Because your routine reveals your results. You can never be different from your routine. Your routine determines your returns. When you wake up in the morning, what do you do? If you check, there is a pattern. After your morning devotion, what do you do? Check your routine. What are those things that happen every day? Do you wake up in the morning and the first thing you do is you carry your phone up and grateful? That is if you remember to say up and grateful. Or you carry your phone and say, who liked my picture today? There are some of you. I'm going to fight some of you. Because your status used to shake my status. Like when I look at your WhatsApp status, I'm like, this is not a new member. No. This person has denied me. What is this? There are some things before you post, you have to think. What is this? Some of them are funny, Sha. Very funny. I saw one. I will say one. You are a single sister. She wrote, I want to do something for the love of my life. The video that of the person that she's talking, that she wants to do, she said, I want to do this thing to the love of my life. A lady was carrying, she wanted to give her, is he husband now or whatever, breakfast in bed with bread and tea and hot tea. She climbed the bed to give him. The guy woke up and raised his hand, mistakenly touched it. The thing tumbled and poured on it. Somebody, you are a single sister. You are not writing, I will soon do this to the love of my life. In my mind, if I say, God, please, I jump and pass. And that's what you're putting on your status. It's funny, but why the love of your life? Why? I beg. Your routine. Does your phone have more attention than God? Hey. Now you see, God should help us, Abby. Your routine. You see, many times we subconsciously believe in a sudden, big moment of change. It doesn't happen without a routine of change. See, that sudden moment of change comes from the accumulation of many small moments of change. We like it just happened, boom. I don't know how it happened though. I don't know, but something just happened, boom. And everything just changed. I just became on fire. No. It is the routine that determines that eventual result. Are you with me? Ecclesiastes 11 verse 3 says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. How does the cloud get full of rain? You know, it's not by evaporation. By evaporation here and there, from pockets of water here and there, from, are you with me? from small, small gatherings of water here and there. Here. After a while, that mighty rain that came down was because of small pockets of water evaporated and condensed in the sky that came down as rain. That means if you don't have a routine where you are storing up glory, the major rain will not come. If you don't have a routine where you are storing up the river of the Spirit, a routine of grace, are you with me? A routine of power that you are doing every day, that major big breakthrough will not come. For instance, you may wonder, what's the point? I pray this today 30 minutes, I pray 30 minutes tomorrow, or we have church prayers today, we have one prayer there. It is rain gathering. After a while, your routine. You know, let me tell you something to think about. Sometimes we think, if I ignore a routine and let me just face one day I will just pray from morning to night. I will not go anywhere. I'll only read my Bible and pray. Is that good? Yes. You should be doing it once in a while. In fact, you should have that one should even be a routine. Maybe once every month you do it. But some people, they will not pray for a whole month. Their whole spiritual life is on minus zero off. And then they will just take one day. They will think one day we sort out everything. It doesn't work that way. See, no matter how a two-year-old child eats, he will not have the strength and stamina of a 25-year-old man. Because there are some things that we only take time and consistency. Time and consistency, you know. Something has been happening to me. I decided that I want to start going to the gym. I don't know if that was a good decision or not. I don't know. I don't know. But I started. So at some point, I was tired. So I went to meet the coach and said, please tell me this gym thing. What are the things? He said, number one, consistency. You must keep on coming. You must keep on coming. Number two, he said, your diet must change. I said, what do you mean? I had no idea what he was saying. I thought when he says your diet must change, he was saying, maybe you stop eating this. He said, you will eat more protein. I said, what do you mean by more protein? He said, after workout like this, you will go and take little carbohydrates, a small portion of rice, and 8 eggs. I said, 8 eggs! From where? I said, wait, sir, is it like 1 week? He said, that is one plate. Do you know that as he was talking, I now understood. You see that? You know that thing we used to tell Christians? Don't worry, you can just read one verse a day. It will not help you. You see, if you don't start learning to read one book of the Bible a day, are you with me? You may not be able to build the kind of stamina you want. We underestimate the kind of effort required to get the kind of results we are praying for. We underestimate it. That's why somebody will say, what are you praying 12 hours for? Okay, what are you eating eight eggs for? I remember listening to a man of God. One of my most, if you follow me, you will know that that's one of my most revered ministers of the gospel. He said, when you are trying to build your faith life and you are trying to raise your faith to do mighty things for God, it's not one sermon a day. When he said it, I just stopped the same. I stopped it. I said, Pastor, people are not even listening one sermon a day. He said, you listen to like seven. He said, you listen to several. Make your faith strong. What is your diet? What is your spiritual diet like? When last did you read chunks of the Bible? When last did you listen to sermons for a long time? When last did you eat well spiritually? Are you with me? The coach said, see, your diet will change. You have to eat plenty protein. I said, ha. I said, sir, I will think about it. I will know if I will. Continue. All of, and after that, remembering he that put his hand on the floor and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom or the gym. Are you with me? So you have to ask yourself, when do I pray? When do I read my Bible? When do I fast? When do I evangelize? When do I... Are you with me? Review your devotional routine. Review your devotional routine. See, the people that you admire in the spirit, both in the spirit and in the flesh, their routine is not small. Look at what I told you. Just imagine. Praise the Lord. Although when I was thinking about that thing, I said, God, so are these people saying that person may not get money, no go get shape? What kind of thing is this? 8 eggs. Ah, God, no. The Lord will supply your needs, though. Amen. I thought you would say amen. In fact, let me rephrase that prayer. Your needs are supplied. Your needs are supplied. You have more than enough to eat 8 eggs a day. You better say amen. If you understand the word of that prayer, you will have more than enough to eat 8 eggs a day. Amen. Your devotional routine. Your routine. Praise the Lord. Number 4. Review your association and your company. Your association. Your association affects your direction much more than you think. Review your association. If you spend more time with people who are asleep, you will sleep off. I saw one funny report. It was more of a medical report. They said if a person yawns in a group, two other people will yawn too. Are you with me? And I discovered it's true. That if a person yawns, it's somehow transferable. That means fire is also transferable. Fire is contagious. Spiritual slumber is contagious. Are you with me? You know, when you study the parable of the virgins, in Matthew 25, the Bible says there were 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. That means he put foolishness and wisdom in groups. Are you with me? 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. So, to know how wise you are or how foolish you are, check your group. Check your company. To know how your spiritual fire is, check your company. Are you with me? You want to be on fire? Just, even if you feel like you're not on fire, just stay around people who are burning. Just be there. Just be there. Just be there. Don't allow yourself to feel awkward, though. Just be there. After a while, it will start entering you. Are you with me? It will start entering you. This is why church is important. Some of you have come to church one day feeling down, feeling uninterested, feeling discouraged. And while the worship was going and the prayer was going on, at a point, you don't know where you shouted, glory! Sapa lata kapa! You are catching it. Praise the Lord. Your company. David will say in Psalm 119 verse 63, I am a companion of them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. I am a companion of them that fear thee. Psalm 1 verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So he's not saying that he's a scornful man, no, but he was sitting there. You are sitting among people who are mocking God. After a while, your spirit will accept it. Are you with me? You know, I was talking about the gym. That's the reason why people go to the gym. Because you will meet other people
who will inspire you.
You say, do 10 reps. You say, 10 is a number. It's just a number. Lightweight. That's you're going lightweight. Carry it. You first of all, you don't want to break. They will tell you, go on. You can do it. My God. Are you with me? You can do it. Go on. Last week, Friday, we prayed for more than 10 hours, Abby. On your own. Would you have been able to go 10 hours? Some of us, it's impossible. But as a group, you went on. When you want to faint, Pastor David will shout, go on! We need to press in the spirit. When you are tired, they will call somebody to sing. You'll be stirred again. Are you with me? Your association and your company. Number 5. Take more responsibility for the gospel. You see this one, eh? This one is the, will I say, the ultimate deal breaker. If you start taking more responsibility for the gospel, you will wake up. You will wake up. Even if you are spiritually sleeping, you will wake up. Just go out and go and start evangelizing. By the time you evangelize to 5 people, 2 insult you. 1 shouts at you. And then 2 respond. You come back with, usually, that's what evangelism does. It begins to ignite in you a passion for the Lord. It opens your heart to see the burden of the salvation of souls. Then you will come back and start praying. After a while, you go again. Your spiritual muscles become stronger. You go again. You go again. John 15 verse 1 to 2. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So, once you begin to bear fruit, God will begin to give you more attention to ensure that you bear more fruit. Did you hear what I just said? Once you begin to bear fruit, he says he will begin to purge you, that you will bring forth more fruit. So, if you really want to get God's attention, start bearing fruit. After a while, you will begin to have what I call divine attention. God will begin to put some kind of divine attention on you so that you will begin to produce more. And that kind of divine attention will get you to wake up. See, even if I wanted to sleep off spiritually right now, it can't last long. How will it last long? How? One day of prayer, eh? Do you know? Oh my God. Oh, I wanted to say, one day without prayer. Do you know what it means to me? One day like this, I say I don't pray. By the next day, I will have so many divine alarms. I will start seeing visions. God will show me. See this person you're supposed to pray for. See what is going wrong here. See what is going wrong. It can't work. Are you with me? Because the weight I'm carrying spiritually will not allow that happen. Because, oh my God, my wife is here. I have to ward off the attacks coming to me. Then the one coming to those around me. You know, when Job, Kai, I need to say this thing. When Job was doing sacrifices before the Lord and was offering incense before the Lord, the devil went to the Lord and said, is it not because you have put a hedge of fire round about him, round about his household, and round about all that concerns him? So there were 3 levels of divine protection because of Job's sacrifice. And Job did not know that his spiritual incense was creating a kind of spiritual wall. Has thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So, are you following me? There is what you can do. There is something actually called divine protection. There is divine covering. There is divine covering. There are some of you that have told me, Pastor, I saw you in my dream. You were praying for me. You said this, and this happened. So happened. Are you with me? That kind of person that will be seen in the dream, I have to be awake. Are you with me? You know, this week, I noticed something. Suddenly, as we got into this week, I started getting a lot of testimonies. People started sending me testimonies. Pastor, I've been posting some of them. New job, new this, I got this. One of the testimonies that I got just before coming to service that touched me. She said, in January, we're having one of those morning devotions. And I said that I see a wave of divine promotions coming. And she knew that that was for her. And she said, Lord, I receive it in Jesus' name. But nothing happened. January, nothing happened. February, nothing happened. March, nothing happened. April, May. So she forgot about it. In June, they brought the letter. Guess what? It was back.